Welcome to episode 44 of the Fredcast for the week of November 27th, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. This week on the Fredcast, Isaac Galvez killed at 6 days of Ghent, Tyler Hamilton gets a ride, can cycling lead to decreased female sensitivity? A bike shop gives back on Thanksgiving, the Grand Tours want the EU to decide the fate of the Pro Tour, and Missoula, Montana gives out free bike lights. Following the news, a review of the Sirius Stiletto Satellite Radio and the second annual Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Welcome back to the Fredcast, and unfortunately this one's going to start on a little bit of a downer, because the top story in today's news has to do with the annual 6 days of Ghent track race that takes place in Europe every year, and it took place over the weekend, and unfortunately World Madison track racing champion Isaac Galvez from the Cast Depargnier team died this weekend after a fall during the race. Now, Galvez, as I said, is the world champion in the Madison race, which is a type of track racing. And he also was the second place finisher in the fourth stage of this year's Tour de France. It appears from looking at the video of the event that the 31-year-old Galvez hit a railing with his chin and chest after he collided with the Belgian racer Dimitri Defoe. And according to an initial diagnosis after his death, the cause of death was from an internal hemorrhage. But they also said that he had fractured ribs and that those ribs had collapsed onto his heart. It looks like the crash occurred at the top of the track, which is a place where, at least according to Tim Jackson from Mozzie Bikes, with whom I spoke earlier today on the Spokesman podcast, where we gave this subject a much longer treatment than I can do here on the Fredcast. Apparently, a collision at the top of the track is fairly unusual, and so we're not quite sure exactly what happened. But this has dealt quite a blow to the cycling world, because it is extremely unusual and very rare for a cyclist to die in a crash like this in track racing. Yes, track racing apparently can be quite dangerous. Broken collarbones, broken ribs, these things happen, especially in races like, as I'm told, the Kirin and other track racing events. But to have a situation like this occur is absolutely unheard of. And so the cycling world is really reeling from it. Now, the first question, of course, that came to my mind when I heard that a cyclist had died on the track was, well, was he wearing a helmet? But according to the stories that I've read, yes, he was wearing a helmet, but a helmet would not have helped him in this case, because he hit it really face on. And so it is just a tragic event. Very sorry to hear about something like this happening. The final day of racing was canceled out of respect for Galvez and for his family. So our condolences and our hearts go out to Isaac Galvez's family and to his teammates for an absolutely tragic death this weekend at the 6 days of Ghent. Well, also in professional racing, and more on a positive note, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it looked like Tyler Hamilton was going to be offered a ride on the Tinkoff team in Europe, and that has indeed happened. Tyler announced it in a letter to his supporters. I'm on his email list, so I get a copy of that letter. And he said he's pleased to announce I'll be joining an Italian-based Continental Pro team sponsored by Tinkoff Credit Systems in January. Now, this, as you know, will be Tyler's first time back to professional racing, as he comes off his 2-year suspension in his own doping scandal. And he said in the letter, "I'm looking forward to putting the difficult ordeal of the last 2 years behind me, and I'm grateful to Oleg Tinkoff for believing in my potential and my future as a cyclist. I'm excited about returning to racing and look forward to being part of a developing organization and riding among cyclists with enormous potential. Oleg Tinkoff, an avid cyclist himself, is making an enormous commitment to the future of the sport by providing support for this team comprised of many very talented riders. I'm looking forward to being part of a motivated, well-organized program." Now, the Tinkoff team, if that's not a name that you've heard before, as we've talked about results, there's a reason for that. Because, as I mentioned before, they're what's called a continental pro team, which means that they are not currently a pro tour team. They're not invited by the pro tour and by the UCI to some of the major events. And, of course, this is what sparked the controversy between the UCI and the Grand Tours, namely the Giro d'Italia, the Tour de France, and the Vuelta de España. So Tyler's going to be racing on a team that is not in the upper echelons of our sport, not somebody that you're going to see on OLN or now the Versus Network. But according to things that I've read online, it looks like what Tinkoff is looking forward to this year is to seeing if they can get an invitation to the Giro d'Italia, and that would be the highlight of their season. Tim Jackson from Mozzie Bikes also mentioned earlier today on the spokesman that he felt that there were some excellent domestiques on this team, but that there was no doubt that Tyler Hamilton was going to be the team leader this year for Tinkoff. And as Tyler said, it's going to be a building year for the team, and it should be interesting to see where they're at, not necessarily in 2007, but where Tinkoff is in 2008. Speaking of that dispute between the Pro Tour and the Grand Tours are going to ask the European Union to rule on their dispute between themselves and the UCI. Now, namely, the dispute is on two issues. As I mentioned, it's based on who's invited to attend the individual races that make up the Pro Tour and who decides who gives out those invitations. And then secondly, on the calendar itself. You see, the Grand Tours believe that the calendar with over 20 races per season is just too restrictive. Or the format is too restrictive. So they're going to ask the European Union to rule on this. And the Pro Tour, the UCI, has said that they will submit all the documents that are necessary and that they will go with the ruling of the European Union. So the first question you might ask is, well, why is the European Union even involved in this? Why would a governmental agency rule on sport? Well, according to an article I read, among its many roles, the European Commission regulates competition in the European Union. It vets all mergers with community-wide effects and initiates proceedings against companies which violate EU competition laws. So basically, the government there does have jurisdiction over the sporting world, over sporting events that take place in Europe. And since the Pro Tour takes place in Europe, they have jurisdiction. So we'll see over the next couple of weeks and months what happens. I have a feeling that, once again, this is going to be a long process. But I think it's interesting to see that government and politicians are going to get involved in this process, much of which is already convoluted enough and has enough politics. I don't necessarily think that this is a good idea. I don't know personally how much experience these government ministers and politicians have with the sporting world and with all of the issues and aspects about the Pro Tour and the Grand Tours. So I think that we're in for a long, rocky road, and that this rivalry between the UCI and the Grand Tours looks like it's just going to go on forever as it now gets mired down in governmental red tape. Well, in preparing the Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide this year, as you know, I solicited listener feedback. Last year, the Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide was all of my ideas, but this year, it's all your ideas, and you're going to hear about that in a few minutes. But in soliciting that feedback, I got a great email from listener Debbie, who coined a new term that I think I'm going to be using more and more here on the show, and that's Ethels. If you've got Fred's, right? Well, Fred's partner on I Love Lucy was Ethel. Ethels are now the female equivalent of Fred's. So this story is for all the Ethels out there who are listening. And this one, listen up, ladies, I think you're going to be very interested in. There is a new study out that is saying that women who bicycle frequently run the risk of decreased sensitivity in their genitals as well as pain. Now, this study is a bit controversial, and it could quite possibly be one of the few studies to look at the effects of cycling on women's perineal region. Now, researchers compared 48 women competitive cyclists to 22 women runners. The cyclists consistently rode at least 10 miles per week, and the runners logged at least 5 miles a week. So the runners were used as the control group, and obviously the study group were the cyclists. Now, according to the study's lead author, Dr. Marcia Guess, who's an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Yale, quote, "We found that competitive women cyclists have a decrease in genital sensation. However, there were no negative effects on sexual function and quality of life in our young, healthy, premenopausal study participants." She continued, "While seated on a bicycle, the external genital nerve and artery are directly compressed. It is possible that chronic compression of the female genital area may lead to compromised blood flow and nerve injury due to disruption of the blood-nerve barrier." Now, the study is detailed in the current issue of the Journal of Sexual Medicine, and this is where the controversy comes in. You're all going to remember that about back in 1997, there was a cover story in Bicycling Magazine, as well as a lot of media attention paid to another study that looked at the effects on men and sexual dysfunction as compared to cycling, or as for those who participate in cycling. Originally, it created quite a stir and hysteria, quite frankly, among cyclists and among lay people, as they said that they felt that cycling was dangerous and that it was causing all of these sexual problems in men. Over the years, a lot of that study was discredited, and it was actually found that the editor or publisher of the Journal of Sexual Medicine, some people say, or some people allege, that that individual has it in for cycling, quite frankly. Now, this study, I'm told, was fairly subjective, because the way that they did the study, again, they were looking at women who were riding about 10 miles per week. Now, if you're a true Ethel, I think you're probably riding a lot more than 10 miles per week. 10 miles is probably your short recovery ride at the end of a long weekend. But beyond that, the reason I say it's subjective is because I'm told that it's based on interviews with female cyclists and female runners, and not necessarily based on actual examinations. Now, I haven't read the study myself, so some of this may be hearsay, but I think that there's a lot left to be said, especially because even as the study's author said, this may be one of the first studies that looked at the effects of cycling on women. Now, having said that, of course, there are plenty of women's specific clothing and saddles and bikes out there that, if there are negative effects as a result of cycling, that these products can certainly help counter those negative effects. A couple of websites that you can go to, Terry Bicycles, Team Estrogen, and I think that those sites would probably be very helpful for you in determining whether or not you want to try any of these other products. So I think that there's going to be a lot more studies following up on this one, and we will get either a confirmation or a refutation of this study. So we'll see what happens. And of course, if something comes up, I will let you know right here on the Fredcast. Well, as I told you on the last Fredcast, for those of you who aren't in the United States, last week was Thanksgiving here in the United States. If you're not familiar with the tradition, it is a time when families get together and have a large meal, usually consisting of at least turkey and cranberries and stuffing and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie and all sorts of heavy, heavy foods. And it's a time when people give thanks for all the blessings in their lives, no matter how rich, no matter how poor. And one of the other traditions in the United States is for us to reach out to those who are less fortunate than we are, and to make sure that they get a good meal on Thanksgiving. And so that's why I loved this story from my former hometown up in Santa Clarita, California. Up there, local business owners Roger and Shannon Hasper converted the parking lot of their bicycle shop, the Newhall Bicycle Company, into the site of a Thanksgiving Day feast for those who were less fortunate, specifically the homeless and the needy. You see, what happened was Roger originally contacted the executive director of the Santa Clarita Valley Food Pantry to find out if there were any places where he and his family could go on Thanksgiving and volunteer to help give the needy a great Thanksgiving meal. Finding that there wasn't one, he and his wife made what I think is a fantastic decision. They decided that they were going to turn the parking lot of the store into their own Thanksgiving feast for the needy of the Santa Clarita Valley. And they got their customers and their shop employees to help them. According to Roger, quote, "The whole idea was to get the customers involved, so we set up a sign-up list in the shop and asked customers to donate their time. We really need to see everybody step up and give back to the community, especially on this day." Now, in addition to providing a meal to the needy, Roger and Shannon also collected donated clothes and purchased a lot of hygiene products and baby items so that people could take those with them after they had their meal. So kudos to Roger and Shannon and the entire community of Santa Clarita that helped them with what is obviously something that was well needed in the Santa Clarita Valley. And just to give them another plug, because having done this, they absolutely deserve it. That's the Newhall Bicycle Company in Santa Clarita, California. Congratulations. What a fantastic way to spend Thanksgiving and to share the spirit of that holiday with those who are less fortunate. And finally tonight, speaking of giving to the community, up in Missoula, Montana, apparently there was a cyclist who was killed recently after dark, and the cyclist did not have proper lighting on his bike. And as a result, the city purchased 150 sets of bike lights, and they're going to be giving them out free of charge to cyclists who were stopped for failing to have proper lighting on their bikes. Now, the lights were purchased at cost from a Madison, Wisconsin bike product company called Planet Bike, and that company donates 25% of its profits to promoting cycling. According to the mayor of the city of Missoula, quote, "I think the city has responsibility to show some leadership here, and we can do something that's simple and symbolic and practical. And when we do so, everybody wins. We may not prevent every tragedy, but if we prevent one, it's worth the effort." So a great way for communities to not just go after cyclists, give them citations, as we hear about too often here on the Fredcast, but to say, we know that there's a problem. We know that you don't necessarily have the right lights. If you don't have them, if you need them, and you're one of the first 150 cyclists that we stop, we're going to give you those lights instead of giving you a ticket. So I think that that's a fantastic thing for them to do. So kudos to the city of Missoula, Montana, for doing that for their commuting cyclists. And with that illuminating story, that's the end of the news for this week. Well, for those of you that are in the United States, you're probably familiar with satellite radio. There's two providers here in the United States. One is XM Satellite Radio, and the other is Sirius Satellite Radio. Now, I've been a satellite radio subscriber for about 4 years or so. I started with XM Satellite Radio, and then a few years ago, I moved over to Sirius Satellite Radio. And no, it wasn't for Howard Stern, but if you're interested in the main reason why I switched, check out Sirius Channel 31. Now, I'm mentioning satellite radio here, and you may be saying, this is something that normally you'd use in a car or in your home. What does this have to do with cycling? Well, for a very long time, it had nothing to do with cycling because you couldn't find a decent portable satellite radio receiver that you could take with you on your rides. As you know, I ride with my iPod. Of course, I ride legally just with one earphone in one ear, because here in California, you can't have both earphones in your ears at the same time when you're out on your bike. And so I've been riding with my iPod, but I kind of miss having live radio with me. Well, recently, Sirius Satellite Radio came out with a receiver that looked really interesting to me. But since I already had a receiver hardwired into my car, I wasn't just going to run out and buy it. Well, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, my car was totaled a couple of weeks ago on a trip to Las Vegas. Thankfully, I wasn't injured, at least not seriously. And my car, however, did not fare that well. Somebody ran into me probably about 45 miles an hour without hitting their brakes. And that was it for my car. So I had to get a new car. And it needed, of course, satellite radio, once again, Sirius 31. And so I looked at the Stiletto because it looked like it was going to fit perfectly in the spot that I had in my car. And it was a great way for me to have this great Freddy device that I'd be able to take with me on my bike rides and have live radio with me. Now, I purchased it. And before I had it installed, I decided I was going to give it the test. I was going to go for a ride. And so last weekend, just before I had it installed, I took the radio with me on about a 25 or 30 mile ride. And in a few minutes, I'll tell you the results of my testing with the radio. But first, I just want to tell you my comments about the radio. There's no doubt in my mind that the Stiletto is a really cool satellite receiver. Now, its interface is not nearly as intuitive as the iPod, but it's about as close as you can get. It's obvious to me that some serious thought, pun intended, went into the hardware and the software design on the unit, and the graphics on the screen, the color graphics, are amazing. I think they did a great job with that. Using the Stiletto in a car or in the home with either the home or car kits is a dream. The sound is great, and it works just like I think a satellite radio should, and it gives you all the information on the screen that you would want. In addition to using it in your car or in your home, you can also use it anywhere within range of a Wi-Fi router that you have access to, whether it's open without a password or even if it does have a password. I connected it here to my Apple AirPort Extreme, which has a WEP password. I entered the WEP password, it instantly connected, and I was getting the signal inside the house over the internet. Now, a couple of downsides to that. Number one, it's only 802.11b. Personally, I think they should have included 802.11g so that the Stiletto doesn't bring down the speed of the rest of the network. Now, in case you don't know the difference, when Wi-Fi was first released, it was released in the form of 802.11b. It's slower than today's current 802.11g or the forthcoming 802.11n. If you put an 802.11b device on a G network, it slows the entire network down, even your G devices, to B speeds. So I think it would have been sort of a no-brainer for them to put G into the radio. Now, second, the internet radio that you get over the Wi-Fi is lower quality than you would get if you spent an additional $2 a month on your subscription fee. And I think that's kind of cheesy. If you're already spending $12.99 a month, and it's only one receiver, you have to take it out of your car and bring it into your house or into your office to use it over Wi-Fi. Personally, I think that they shouldn't be dinging you for another $2 a month. And finally, the other thing that bothered me about the internet radio is that not every single channel was available over the internet. And I'm sure that there's some licensing reason or some reason with the FCC, but I think it's kind of cheesy. Here's the problem. Remember that ride I told you about? This is where the Stiletto really falls flat on its face. I bought it because I felt that it was going to be great for going out on my rides, but here's what I found out. I took it for, again, about a 25 or 30 mile ride. For a quarter of the ride, I had consistent, interruption-free, great-sounding satellite radio. It sounded fantastic. For another 25% of the ride, I had choppy satellite radio. It would come in and out, so I'd have a couple of seconds of music, and then it would drop out for a few seconds, and then it would come back in. And then for about half the ride, I had just silence. Curiously, the best signal that I received was when I was actually on a tree-lined street, a pretty thickly tree-lined street. And the worst signals were on completely open streets. And most of the route that I was on was either clear and devoid of buildings, or the buildings were no more than single-story residential homes. So there was really no rhyme or reason. The only thing that I could figure was that in the area where I had the best reception, I was receiving from one of Sirius's terrestrial receivers instead of one of Sirius's satellites. Now, at one point in my ride, unfortunately, I got a flat. And again, I was in a completely clear, open field where I got the flat, and so I took the radio out of my jersey pocket, and I set it down on the sidewalk while I continued to change my flat. And even with that open and clear view of the sky, I was not able to get a signal. Now, Sirius, of course, would tell you, well, that's because I wasn't using their special antenna headphones. Quite frankly, I think that's an absolute joke, because if you see these headphones, not only do they look like something from a really bad sci-fi movie, but they are also extremely uncomfortable. Just simply setting them on my head, forget wearing a helmet, just putting them on my head and putting them in my ears hurt from about 3 seconds after I put them on. I can't imagine having them on my head for more than 20 or 30 seconds at a time. So for me, it was a no-brainer. I was absolutely taking it back. Now, this unit is about $350, and that doesn't include the $80 car kit. So $350 for this unit versus about $70 or $80 for a unit that is not portable, meaning that I can't take it on my bike, but that I can still take it out of my car and bring it into my house and put it in a cradle or put it into a boom box. So again, total no-brainer that I was taking it back. Oh, and by the way, did I mention that it does come with software so that you can transfer songs and MP3 files from your computer to the Stiletto? Oh, sorry, but it's Windows only, because I guess Sirius thinks that us Mac users wouldn't want to buy a Stiletto. No podcasting support, or at least no podcatching support, and of course it will not play your iTunes music, but it will play music from the Yahoo Music service. So, my bottom line, well, I love the design, the features, the software, and the graphics of the Stiletto. I took it back to Best Buy. There was no way that I was going to keep it. Since I can't really use it as a portable radio, I decided instead to spend way less on a Sirius StarMate 4. By the way, it's in my car. It's working great. I love it. If, however, you don't care about consistent portable reception, you want the best satellite receiver I've ever seen, and you want to spend about 3 to 4 times more for it than other devices that can capably be used in your home or car, then this just might be the radio for you.
Snow is flying, man, it's cold, it's in the air, everywhere I go, it's a crazy time of the year, man, it's Christmas.
Well, if that guitar sounds familiar to you, that's our old friend Jimmy Bratcher, who does the theme music for the Fredcast every week. And this is Man, It's Christmas from his new Christmas album. And there are links in the show notes to Jimmy Bratcher's website, as well as to Jimmy on iTunes. We love Jimmy. Well, this is Christmas music, and that means it's time once again for the annual Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide. This is the second annual Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide. But first, before we get to it, I want to mention the first annual Spokesman Holiday Gift Guide. We did that this morning when we recorded the Spokesman's 8th Cycling Roundtable podcast. And today it was Tim Jackson from Mozzie Bikes and Carlton Reed from BikeBiz.com, as well as Cycling News and Reviews podcast. We came up with some great gift ideas, so head on over to the-spokesman.com. That's M-E-N. The-spokesman.com. Check out our list. It's on the website. And then, of course, go to iTunes and click on the link in the show notes for our feed and start subscribing to The Spokesman if you're not already. We've been doing some great shows. We got one more coming up this year. It's going to be a year in review, and I think you're going to really like that. It's in 2 weeks. But let's get to the second annual Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide. And as the music begins to fade down, this is the first one that was completely listener submitted. Every single product you're about to hear is something that was submitted by you, the fellow Fredcast listeners. They range everywhere from just a couple of bucks on up to, well, they could go up into the thousands depending on what you buy. And every single one of these will be listed in the next day or two in the show notes. I'm still trying to put it all together into the show notes. It will be there shortly. And I am also going to be bringing you a PDF document that I'll be posting on the website in the next couple of days that you can just email off to your friends and family and say, hey, check out the following thing on this list. Click on the link in the PDF document, and lo and behold, they'll be able to buy the product for you. Now, for full disclosure, I want you to know that the links that I'm putting into the show notes, as well as into the PDF document of the second annual Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide, most of those links are going to go to a couple of websites, and the prices that you're going to pay would be the same whether you click on the links in my show notes or not. But if you do click on the links in the show notes, it's going to send a couple of pennies my way, and I sure would appreciate that. And of course, it will also let those companies know the power of the Fredcast and the fact that there are actually people listening. And that's going to be helpful for the Fredcast as we move on down the road and try to get a little bit of sponsorship on the show. So I would appreciate it if you are going to buy any of the things that we talk about, that you do click on the links in the show notes and in the PDF document that I'm going to be creating, so that, again, send a couple of pennies my way, as well as let those people know about Fredcast listeners and about how influential you are as cycling consumers. I'd appreciate it. So let's get right into the list. It is really in no particular order. Really, it was just in the order in which I received each of your emails. And the first one comes from listener, and I'm sorry, I really hate if I'm going to mispronounce your name. It is either Jan or Jan. But I appreciate your email. And this one is the Blackburn Delphi 6.0 cycle computer. This one comes in at about $150 price point. And according to the listener, here's a new gadget I'd like to get if anyone intercepts this email. It's the Blackburn Delphi 6.0. It includes wireless heart rate monitor, cadence, and altitude. And he says, unfortunately, it doesn't have a GPS, but it's as good as it gets for non-GPS computers. So that's one idea. And of course, another idea that would be along these lines, and I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to insert my ideas while we're going, would be the VDO cycle computer. We've talked about that here on the show before, so go ahead and check that out. Next up, listener Kip recommended a couple of things. And the first two, these are definitely in the higher end Fred or Ethel category. And this would be Campagnolo Record or Chorus components. And according to Kip, being an avid campyphile, I heartily recommend, for those who can afford its lofty price range, Campy Record or Chorus drivetrain components. I love the way it shifts, downshifting across the entire cassette in a single action, for example. That makes this system what it is, the crown jewel of cycling componentry. An expensive gift, perhaps, but can you imagine getting this underneath your Christmas tree? Totally agree. I've got Record components on my bike, and prior to that, of course, I was a Shimano user, and I really didn't understand why people loved Campy as much as they do. And as Kip says, number one, being able to zip through the entire range on your cassette with one thumb shift is something that you, once you're used to it and you ride a bike that doesn't have that capability, you miss it. Now, in addition to Campy, Record or Chorus, I would insert the new SRAM components. I think the new group is plush and is really great riding and is really intuitive. And I think that if once you try the double tap levers, if you use them for any length of time, it's going to be hard to go back to a lever that isn't a double tap lever. So that would be another thing that I would recommend. And finally, from Kip, he says, one more thing. May I suggest a song for the iPod? I know everyone has very specific tastes in regards to what they like to listen to while they ride, but this song has a very nice driving techno beat that always energizes me while I'm on the basement trainer sweating off the calories. It's called Burned with Desire by Armin van Buuren and Justine Suiza. It's on the Ultra Trance 1 disc and is available on iTunes. Goes on to say, now there's a nice cheap gift idea. It's 8 minutes and 36 seconds long, just right for an extended pull. And I have put the link to the song on iTunes right there in the show notes, so go ahead and check that out. Next up, and this was popular, I got this from listeners Paolo, Tom, Joe, Mike, and a number of others. You won't be surprised to hear me mention it. It is, by the way, the last song by Kip, 99 cents on iTunes. That's about as cheap as they come. This one, a little bit more expensive, the Garmin Edge 305. Here you're talking about $360, but according to Paolo's email, I like the way Paolo mentioned it. He said, I think the object of desire this year will definitely be the Garmin Edge. And I think that's true. I think that the Garmin Edge is something that I may have mentioned on last year's gift guide, and I've certainly mentioned it a lot here on the show. I've even gotten some emails from some listeners who have said, what's the big deal with GPS? And while I think that part of it obviously isn't necessarily a need to have, it is certainly a nice to have. And I can give you a couple of reasons why I like having GPS on my bike. Number one, certainly there's the coolness factor of being able to come back and look at your route on a map and on your computer and be able to get all of your elevation data. I like it. One of the reasons I really like it is for the elevation data. Now, it's true, as a listener recently pointed out to me, that somebody who is fairly decent at reading a map can certainly get that information for themselves, but the GPS just makes it that much easier. If you're a mountain biker, one of the reasons I like GPS is the ability to be able to track back so that if, God forbid, you should ever get lost out there in the woods and you want to find your way back, you can simply follow some breadcrumbs on the map in order to get back to your car or the trailhead. And I think that that's real important as well. It's also good for sharing your routes with friends and with internet users so that you can record a route and you can then post it up online, whether on your own website or blog or on something like motionbase.com, so that other people can get a benefit from what you've learned about where the good trails are in your area. And finally, and I used this recently, with the right software, you can go on your computer, you can plan a route, maybe in an area that you've never been to before, and you don't want to take a map with you. And you can then download it into your GPS and then follow along on your GPS as if it's a virtual route sheet as you ride. And that can be very, very useful. So personally, when it comes to the Garmin Edge 305, I would get it with both cadence and heart rate. That's the way mine's set up. And I find that there's a lot of metrics there that I can get on my computer that can be very useful in my training as I get closer into the season. Now, Paolo, in his email, went on to say that oftentimes he thinks that, quote-unquote, normal people don't really understand what it is that we want. For instance, they don't know the difference between a Schrader and a Presta tube. So Paolo recommends an online wish list. And according to Paolo, he set one up at Performance Bike. He says, this is his opinion, that it has a couple of bugs, but that it's functional. And then any regular Fred can then distribute the URL or just link the wish list from their own website. So that's another great idea. Maybe you just want to put down some of the things that you specifically want for yourself, and that's a great way to do it. Next up is listener Andrew, and listener Andrew had some great ideas, for some of which are great gifts and some of which are just great stocking stuffers, but they're all things that we all need. Andrew recommended tubes. We can all use tubes. Maybe somebody just wants to spend $20 on you. Well, you know, that could be four tubes, and we all always need spare tubes. Or maybe some lube for your chain. Energy drink. I mean, how often does it happen? Right now, for me, for instance, I'm out of Cytomax. That's what I drink when I ride. And so that would be a great gift for somebody to give me, maybe somebody in my office if they were looking for a gift for me. Or energy gels or bars for that matter. So a lot of great things. Or even a recovery drink, Andrew recommended. So some great ideas there from listener Andrew of some inexpensive items that you might want to consider. Next up, listener David wrote in with several ideas. And the first is a product which I'm not quite sure where we can find these here in the U.S., but these are called Electron Backups Lights. And they go for about 15 pounds a set. These lights are incredibly small, but they're supposed to be very, very bright. And it looks like they mount to your handlebars with a simple elastic strap. According to David, he called them fantastic little life savers. Small enough to keep in your backpack or seat bag, but bright enough to be seen by. He went on to say, if you're caught out on the road without your main lights, say after a bad mechanical, punctures, or just a good cup of coffee at a friend's house, these can keep you alive. Not a replacement for proper lights, but enough to get you home. Waterproof and bright enough to make putting up a tent possible. I have the rear one permanently attached to the back of my helmet, just in case. Great idea, David. Thank you for that. Now, David wanted to say also the Sunto T6 wrist top personal trainer with heart rate monitor, but he thought that it was a little bit too expensive. Quite frankly, at $325, it certainly doesn't top the list of the most expensive things out there for cyclists. And if you've got a spouse or a significant other that wants to spend a bit of money on you, another great idea. And then finally, David wrote in again with a product called the Q-Lite. Now, the Q-Lite, according to David, has three super bright LEDs that make it an ideal bike light or handy handbag torch. For those of the United States, that would be a flashlight. It comes with batteries and bracket. There you're talking about 10 pounds for what looks to me to be a great light, and that's from Denot or Denoti Lighting. And again, links in the show notes for every one of these. Speaking of Denot or Denoti, I don't know how to say it, I'm sorry. Listener Rob wrote in and said, no cycling gift guide for Freds could be complete without the Denoti tail light. It's a tail light that brings rear lighting to a whole new level and gives riders the respect on the road they deserve. The reason I believe this is such a great gift option, no matter what front light the gift recipient already has, they do not have a tail light in this league of taillights. So most of you are thinking of a taillight, one of those small things with maybe AA or AAA batteries that's just a little blinky. This one, $129. But from the reviews I've seen and from what I've read online, this is really a great light. And I'm actually thinking of getting one of these because I was recently out driving in the area that I normally do my rides, especially my night rides. And I was behind a guy on a bike and he had just one of those small little plastic tail lights. And you know what? I could barely see him. And since I would like to come home alive every night after my ride, this looks like something that would really help me stay alive and to complete my ride and be able to come home to my family. Next up, our resident Ethel. Listener Debbie wrote in with a couple of really great ideas. Ideas for women. So listen up, men. If you've got an Ethel in your life, this is going to make your Christmas shopping really, really easy. Number one on Debbie's list, Pearl Izumi Thermafleece Tights. Those go for about $90. Or Pearl Izumi Gavia Cycling Bib Tights. Those go for about $175. $5 or $200, depending on where you buy them. Debbie says these are great for riding in the Arctic winter weather and that they can be found at your local bike shop. They can be found at a great website that she recommended, which is teamestrogen.com. Or if you like, I've also put links in the show notes where you can go and buy those. Next up, the Pearl Izumi Amphib Gloves, about $65, anywhere from $50 to $65. And Debbie mentions that these are great because they have women-specific sizing for smaller hands. Third thing on Debbie's list, and I'm going to read this verbatim, the Cannondale Synapse Feminine and the 2007 Fuji Finest 2.0. She says that that's what her Fred is treating her to this year. So congratulations on your new bike, Debbie. I hope you enjoy it. And she also said that they were recommended by Bicycling Magazine in their August 2006 issue, and that they also recommended the Scott Contessa, but she said she doesn't have any personal experience with that one, nor do I. Next up, a great book for male and female cyclists, road and mountain, with tons of information, is called Bicycling Bliss by Portia Masterson. And of course, that's available through Amazon, and I put a link in the show notes so that you can get that. She says she's just started to read it, but that it has detailed information on bike fit, proper riding posture, dressing for riding in all types of weather, and that it's good for the beginner or intermediate rider. And then lastly, Debbie said she's hoping this year for the 2006 Tour de France 12-hour DVD set. And I've put a link to that in the show notes. Porsche's book, by the way, about $25. And the Tour de France DVD set, about $90. Links to all of those are in the show notes. Debbie, great idea. Love hearing from the female Fredcast listeners. Thanks so much for sending that along. Next up is listener Jeff, who recommended a great idea, which is the Bicycle Bob trailer. This is a great thing if you are going on rides and you want to carry your goodies with you, or, you know, your camping gear or whatever. Jeff went on to say, not only can you use it for a cross-country trip, but you can use it to pick up groceries from the store. Between this and a kiddie trailer, we were able to buy over $300 worth of groceries. Last year, several friends and I organized a ride from Arizona to Idaho, about 450 miles. The ride was a self-supported ride, about 70 to 90 miles a day for a total of 6 days. Five of us went, including a 70-year-old. I just hope when I'm his age, I could do this. And that they took their Bicycle Bob trailer along with them. So that's another great idea. Thank you, Jeff, for sending that one along. Next up from listener Ian. Ian is recommending something that we talked about last year as well, and that's the Cycle Passion Calendar, something we've talked about on The Spokesman. The Cycle Passion Calendar, if you're not familiar with it, is probably for the Freds and not the Ethels. It is 12 months of very attractive, fairly scantily clad women around bicycles, and it's a calendar. This goes for about $30, and I put a link in the show notes. Next up from listener Neil, who was our random winner in the Fredcast Holiday Gift Guide giveaway. He won a Motion Lingo Adeo, which I'm hoping by now he's received and that he's enjoying. Recommended a number of items to keep you visible out there on the street. The first one is tire flies, about $10. These are valve stem motion activated lights. And you're going to need Presta adapters in order to get them on your normal road wheels. Next up is something called Hokey Spokes. These go for about $30, and these are LED light bars that produce static images. And these go on your spokes, and you can put multiple Hokie spokes on a single wheel in order to make sure that you're even more visible. And then finally, if you really want to do it yourself, there's some great kits from Spoke POV for about $38, starting at $38. And these are full wheel animated light up displays that you can put on your wheels, but caution, you need to be able to solder and have access to a computer to program them. So Neil, great ideas on those. Next up is listener Randy. He's recommending vintage Tour de France posters. These go for about $20 a piece, and those are great for adorning any room, garage, or bike shop. Next, listeners Mike and Curtis both recommended something that I've heard about but I haven't tried. Very, very Freddy product. Not too expensive, about $10 or $20 for these, and something I definitely want to try. These are from Bontrager, and they're called the Bzzkill Bar End Harmonic Dampers. Let me tell you about how these are supposed to work. You take the regular plastic plugs out of the ends of your handlebars, and you put in the Bzzkill Bar End Harmonic Dampers, and these use a frequency that is slightly off from the frequency of the vibrations in your handlebars in order to dampen the ride. Can be great for making sure that your hands don't get too fatigued on a long ride. Again, these go for about $10 or $20, something I definitely want to try. So if anybody from Bontrager is out there listening, I'd love to try them and give a review to the rest of the Fredcast listeners. Great stocking stuffer, in my opinion. Moving on down the list, we're getting into the home stretch. Listener David wrote in, David commutes on his bike, and recommended the SKS Raceblade Fenders. These go for about $50. And if you're riding in the snow or where it gets a little slushy or wet over the winter, these can certainly save your clothing and your face and your glasses and everything else. So check those out. Great idea, David. Thank you for that. Listener Mike wrote in and recommended Body Glide. This goes for about $13. Another great stocking stuffer. Body Glide is used for lubricating your skin in the places where you could end up getting chafed and really uncomfortable. And that's good any time of year. Again, about $13 for that. Listener Casey wrote in with a number of ideas. The first one, Simple Green Bike Cleaner and Degreaser. A great idea, Casey, because Simple Green is not only good for your bike, but it's also good for the environment. Casey goes on to say, this stuff is a miracle. Spray it on, rinse it off, and your bike, especially the drivetrain, looks like new. Don't confuse this with regular Simple Green, though, even though they're made by the same company. This is bike-specific, and it won't harm your bike chain. Try this one, and you'll buy a case. And this goes for about $8 or $9. And again, link in the show notes for that. Next one, this is about a $6 item. This is the Crank Brothers Speed Lever. According to Casey, if you're like me and you need more than your thumbs to change a tube, this is the ultimate tool. Like the giant machines at tire stores, it's a lever that anchors on your hub and makes removing or replacing a tire a snap. It comes with a lifetime guarantee. I've worn out three of them, and Crank Brothers have been great about mailing me new ones. So that's a great idea. Bargain for $6. Next is the Take a Look Bicycle Mirror. This one goes for about $14, according to Casey. I know a lot of velo guys and gals think mirrors are incredibly uncool. Me, I won't ride without one. It lets me see what's behind me on my left so I can safely stay further away from the car doors on my right. It lets me change lanes safely. As a training ride leader for the AIDS life cycle, it lets me keep an eye on the beginning riders behind me. That said, Casey continues, most mirrors are garbage. They're made of plastic and vibrate so much on your helmet or your glasses that they're useless. The Take a Look mirror, on the other hand, is made of brass. The mirror surface is shatterproof plexiglass. It can be adjusted in every direction, and it won't move unless you move it. Again, these go for about $14. Good idea. Next up, Casey's recommending the Halo headband. These go for about $13. According to Casey, we cyclists are a sweaty bunch. I know that's true in my case. As long as there's a shower and a clean pair of shorts at the end of the ride, it doesn't bother me. But when the sweat gets in my eyes, that's another matter. Most of my friends use cotton bandanas or headbands. That's fine for a trip to the local Pete's for a grande, but for long rides, they get soaked in minutes. And since they're cotton, they don't wick away the moisture. The Halo headband takes a different approach. The band itself is made of a wicking material, which could be improvement enough, but there's also a dam, a piece of plastic on the headband that sits above your eyebrows and deflects perspiration away from your eyes. This thing really works, and it's available in several colors, and again, about $13. Finally, for about $15, Casey recommends the Buff. This is, and by the way, this isn't what you see on Survivor, folks. This is the ultimate all-purpose piece of sports equipment. Basically, it's just a seamless tube of stretchy fabric, but twist it one way, it's a cap. Twist it another, it's a sweatband, an ear warmer, a balaclava. Then, on ridiculously hot days, wear it on your neck and fill it with ice cubes to keep you cool. Some of my younger, slimmer female friends wear them as tube tops. They come in lots of great colors and cool prints, and they're about $15. So yeah, of course, you can use your Survivor Buff if you've got one, but I put a link in for one that's more of an athletic-based buff that you might want to look at. Listener Scott wrote in with a great idea, which is the Deda, that's D-E-D-A, Dog Fang Chain Deflector. It goes for about $13. And Scott says, while it's an inexpensive and simple item, I don't think I would buy it for myself, so it would be a great stocking stuffer. Basically, this is great for keeping your chain from falling off the inner chain ring where you're going to have to get off your bike and then put it back on and get all greasy. Great idea. Listener Ben wrote in. He said, here is my recommendation for a holiday gift. Nothing new or original, but still very useful and helpful. Being fairly new to cycling, I can have all of the technology and gear in the world, but if I don't use it properly, it won't benefit me much. That's why I recommend educational reading, The Cyclist Training Bible by Joe Friel. I'm working my way through his Mountain Biker's Training Bible right now, and I'm finding it very useful. And that's true. The Cyclist Training Bible is a great resource for beginners, intermediates, and advanced cyclists alike. It goes for about $16 over at Amazon. Listener Fred, really, his real name, wrote in and recommended two products that you might be interested in. The first is the Topeak Road Morph Pump with Pressure Gauge. That goes for about $27. And the Topeak Hexus 16 Multi-Tool, about $17 for that. Listener Patrick wrote in to tell us about the CatEye LD100 safety lights. These go for about $10. They use very tiny batteries. And again, like the lights I told you about earlier, they're great in a pinch for making sure that you can get home safely and still be seen. Listener Mark wrote in, also echoed Fred's idea about the Topeak Road Morph bike pump, echoed the idea about the Hokey spokes and the spoke POV, but also recommended the Blackburn Mars 3.0 light. And these lights, again, it's a small taillight, but can certainly get you home in a pinch if you want to make sure that you're seen. Listener Jonathan wrote in and said, I'd wholeheartedly recommend The Hour by Michael Hutchinson. Michael's one of the best time trialers in the UK, and this is the story of his attempt on Chris Boardman's Athlete's Hour record. It's funny, informative, and just a darn good read. You really want him to succeed because he's a great narrator, and if you don't know who holds the athlete's record, there's enough suspense to keep you wondering if he can do it, even though everything, and I mean everything, goes against him. And you'll wonder how his girlfriend puts up with him. Again, available at Amazon.com, about $17. The final listener that wrote in was listener Larry, recommended the Dahan line of folding bikes at www.dahan.com, as well as the Imba mountain bike calendar. So some great ideas from all of you listeners out there. And I have to tell you, I was really expecting to hear a lot more techie ideas or a lot more expensive ideas, but honestly, the majority of what you wrote in with were really affordable products and great products for people who might not normally know what to buy you, you know, the cyclist in their life. And once I put this together onto a great PDF document, it's going to give your friends and your family and your loved ones some really great ideas of some products that you might like. And we'll organize these into either by price or by product category so that everybody knows what it is that they're buying. But I want to thank all of you listeners for writing in and providing us with what I think has been a great holiday gift guide. You see, you don't have to go expensive. You don't have to go too techy in order to come up with some products that I think a lot of us, just listening to the list, are drooling over and that we would all love to get under the tree or next to the menorah or whatever gift-giving holiday you celebrate this time of year. Any of these products would be well appreciated and well loved by all the Freds and all the Ethels and all the cyclists in your life. So thanks so much for sharing your ideas with the rest of the Fredcast listeners. And that's going to do it for the Fredcast for this week, for our holiday gift guide. And once again, I do want to put in a plug for the spokesman, because I think we did a great show this week. And I think that our gift guide is just slightly different from what we just talked about, because we did go into the higher range of prices and some things that you might want to be interested in. Again, www.the-spokesman.com, or just go to the show notes and click on the link there. Before we go, I would appreciate it if you would go over to Podcast Alley and vote for the Fredcast so that we remain in the top 100 as we have been for the last 6 or 8 months. Also, spread the word. Tell 3 friends this week, or go on to iTunes and write a review about the Fredcast. A number of you have done that. I really appreciate it. The Fredcast has a consistent 5-star out of 5-star rating on iTunes, and I appreciate you for doing that. Please send me your comments, either in text form or in audio form. Of course, we are coming up on the 1-year anniversary of the Fredcast in about 2 weeks. I'd love to hear from you and find out what your comments are, whether in audio form or in text form, about the Fredcast over the last year. You can send me those emails to thefredcast@gmail.com. If you're going to send an audio comment, you can do that by voicemail at area code 206-203-FRED, or you can use the record a comment link on the left-hand side of the page, and you can record right from your computer up onto the web, and I will have your voice to use on the show. Finally tonight, as always, PodSafe cycling music, and we're getting into the Christmas spirit this time of year, and so tonight's PodSafe cycling music is a traditional Christmas song, but with more of a cycling beat. It comes to us, as always, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's song is called "Do You Hear What I Hear" by Jill Parr, and I've got links in the show notes to where you can find Jill's page on the PodShow site, as well as Jill's own website, and where you can buy Jill's music on iTunes. So that's going to do it for tonight and our second annual Fredcast holiday gift guide. Thanks again to all you listeners for sending those in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. Enjoy the Christmas music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
the key.